to assume anything, but
yes,
should I assume that your children are all following the same faith?
Yes, yes, absolutely. My two daughters who are married are both married to Jewish men, and their children have, my oldest daughter's children have all been bar bas mitzvahs. And I'm certain, I mean, there's no question in my mind, since Judah's husband is certainly a more observant Jew than Janie's husband, I know that those children will be bar bas mitzvahs. And Emily, whose special person is not Jewish, but she's made it very clear to him that, you know, the kids, if they are any children, will have to be raised Jewish, and she's going to live in a Jewish community. I think that's probably, that's the way it will be. Now, how their kids will turn out, I certainly can't predict the future, but, I mean, that is certainly, they certainly have a commitment to the faith. There is just no question about it.
Do you recall any particular event that stands out in your mind, or events regarding religious life in your own family with your children?
With my children?
Yes.
Nothing in particular. I don't really know how it turned out this way. I do know this. I know that one year I taught, or maybe 2 years, 1 or 2 years, I taught Sunday school. And my son was in that class. And it was a great experience. Aside from just doing stuff, teaching them stuff, we ran panel discussions, and those were held for the whole Sunday school. Everybody came, and they were tremendous.
What grade was he in?
He was about 15 because it was the year before he was confirmed. Yes. Yeah.
And
it was the pre-confirmation class, because that was taught by the rabbi. This was the year before confirmation.
And everyone in the synagogue was involved?
Yeah, the kids, no, my class ran the panel, and they picked out the topics to be discussed. And then, I moderated, and then there would be 4 kids on the panel, and they would say whatever it was they had to say, and then we would open it up for questions, and it was really, I think probably, let's see, that would, Janie was out of the loop by then, because she had already been confirmed. But somehow or other, it must have impacted on Daniel in some degree or other.
And this must have been shortly before you moved to Pittsburgh.
Yes, it was. It was probably a year or two before I moved to Pittsburgh, yeah.
Well, I'm interested in your professional life also.
Okay.
And yes. When did you attend law school then?
Late in life. I graduated. Let's see, in 77, and I was 49.
Where did you attend law school?
Duquesne. I went to Duquesne.
At night?
Duquesne. No, I went during the day, actually. I really did not want to go at night because my kids, by then, only Emily and Julia were at home, and they were gone during the day, and they were home in the evenings, and I did not want to be gone when they were home. So I got into day school, and I went to day school.
And, let's see. Jan was where at the time?
Jan, when I went to law school, Janie was in medical school, or she may have even finished medical school by then. She was either in medical school or was in training. I started in 74. Yeah, in 74. But Emily and Judah were still, when I started, they were junior and seniors in high school.
That must have been difficult, going to law school. Being a mother and taking care of a household.
It was. I was very busy all the time. There was no 10 minutes during the day that I didn't know exactly what I was going to be doing. But law school for me, I worked very hard, and it certainly made me nervous at test time. But it was fun. I had a wonderful class. My colleagues were just a terrific bunch. They were really nice. And it was a good experience. Yeah, I had a wonderful study group.
And the age difference didn't mean anything.
No, it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't want it to make any difference.
No.
And, I went around in blue jeans, and it was okay. I mean, I have, from that class, my two closest friends from law school. One of them, I mean, I just talked to him on Sunday, and he doesn't live here anymore, but we are very close friends. And the second one, the other one, I don't see very often. If I see him once in 5 years, it's lucky. But it's just like yesterday. And the age didn't make any difference. And I just wondered, I certainly noticed that I had the maternal authority. Like if somebody, like if their button came off, if they had a headache, they would ask me if I had a needle and thread or an aspirin, and so I carry needle and thread, aspirin, cough drops. But because if there was a problem, then we have an aspirin. But aside from that, we party together, we drank beer together, and we study together.
What made you decide to get in law school?
Well, I'll tell you. I have a master's in audiology and speech pathology, and I work part-time for I don't know how many years. As a speech therapist, I was no good at it. I didn't like it, and it just was fooey. And I wasn't making any money, and I thought, this is not a really good deal for me. So I decided what I really wanted to do was to do something that I really enjoyed, and it would make more money for me. It was just about at the beginning of the women's movement, at least as it was well into the women's movement, but women were just beginning to go to law school. I met a couple of much younger women, one of whom was in law school, and one of whom was going to go to law school. And I took a look at them, and I thought, hey, I'm as smart as they are. If they can go to law school, I can go to law school.
How old were you then?
I can tell you.
When you started law school?
I must have been 46 when I started, so this must have been when I was 45. When I was 45, when I started to work. Wow.
That's great.
It worked out okay.
You said that you had a degree.
When did you
do? I have a master's.
When did you get all
when
these
did you
things?
Get the master's?
Well, I got. I when I lived in Bel Air, I decided that I was looking around for something to do. So I decided I would become an audiologist, speech pathologist. So I used to go up to Pitt about once a week and take classes. And I was going part time, and I got a master's in audiology and speech pathology. So I hadn't finished it when I came here. So when I came here, I finished it. But quickly, it became apparent to me that this was not going to be a big plus for me. I never liked the courses. I liked the people and I liked the professors, but I did not like the work.
Where did you work?
I worked for Head Start. I worked for, there was a home of sorts for people who had strokes up at Bedford Avenue in Hill. I worked up there. I worked at the VA. I worked at what was then the Home for Crippled Children. I worked for the Pittsburgh Spirit Hearing and Speech Association. I had, these were all part-time jobs, and I had a bunch of part-time jobs. Some concurrently, one someone after another. But I kept thinking, well, maybe somewhere out there is a job that I will really enjoy, but I never liked any of it.
What year did you get your master's?
In speech?
Yeah.
I would say 1971. But I had worked before that as a speech pathologist. I did in Wheeling, as a matter of fact. I worked at a public high school for retarded, a public school for retarded kids, and I did speech therapy there. In Wheeling, yeah. When I lived in Bel Air before I moved to Pittsburgh. I guess that would have been 68 and 69.
Were you married at the time?
I was married when I started the degree in speech pathology, but during the course of that we got divorced. And when I moved here, I was not married. We were divorced, and then I moved to Pittsburgh.
And what year was that?
That was, I moved here March 15th, 1969.
Do you remember those
things? Absolutely.
That was a big move.
It was very
especially
big move.
Going, trying to finish your degree.
That was okay. That was at least of it. Believe me.
So you were divorced in 71 or 70?
No, if I moved here in 69, I was divorced. I moved here in March of 69, so I was divorced in November of 68.
So was I.
Really?
Yeah. A banner year. Going back to family, were there any family vacations that you may have taken with your children as they were growing up that you recall as being very special? Where were they able to do it?
I think probably the one that I recall that were the most special were on Okra Cove and Wrightsville Beach. We really liked that. One year, with really my best friend for my freshman year in college, we went down to Okra Cove with her family.
You better spell that for me.
Okra Cove, let's see. O-C-R-A-C-O-K-E. It's on the Outer Banks. It's, you know, Cape Hatteras?
Yeah.
Okra Cove. It's south of Cape Hatteras. O-C-R-A-C-O-K-E. Okra Cove Island.
And you mentioned another one.
Well, we went to Wrightsville Beach in North Carolina, where I have
Wrightsville.
Yeah, as in Wright Brothers, right? Wright Brothers. Yeah, W-R-I-G-H-T-S-V-I-L-L-E, Wrightsville Beach. It's outside of Wilmington, just across from Wilmington, North Carolina. And I have I have relatives there, and cousin I'm very close to. So that was nice. That was really fun. She had a lot of kids. That was really fun.
These were both beach trips?
Yes, yes.
When you graduated from law school, did you join a firm? Did you go on your own?
No. What I did was, when I graduated, that was the beginning of the difficult time to get a job in law. Prior to that, there were people, apparently everybody had 5 or 6 offers. It was changing then, but it hadn't gotten nearly as tough as it has gotten in recent years. But I knew that I was not a white male football player, and that I was really going to have to hustle if I wanted to find a job. So I hustled, and I did everything I could, and I wanted to do labor law if I had my choice. But I applied a number of places, including the National Labor Relations Board, which is the federal agency that I work for. And they were the first people to accept me, and I took the job.
Cool.
And I've been there ever since.
What made you decide on labor?
Well, I hear a lot of it. It just sort of appealed to me. It's I'm not really sure. I had a lot of experience, you know, with labor unions because of my ex-husband's affiliation with the United Mine Workers. And my father was in the construction business, so I had certain ties to employers. And I don't really know the answer to that, but it's also a very, and I didn't know this at the time, but it's a very unstiff area of the law. Most, not all labor lawyers, but most labor lawyers, I call them street kids, they're not pompous, and they're more down to earth, and they deal with, it's a very down to earth sort of area of the law, and it's slightly hot. It's not as hot as domestic relations. People are not that emotional about it, but people are very emotional. Unions and employers and employees, in the workplace, and it's fun. I mean, I just like it.
Just to go back for just a minute.
But I'll tell you, if I had gotten a job someplace else, it was the first offer and it was reasonable, I would have taken that, and that's what I would be doing.
You might have stayed.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I suspect, if I got a job doing something else, I'd be doing that, and probably, dear God, I'd be liking it, but it turned out okay.
Or you may have been somewhere else and then wound up here.
It's possible. It's possible. Yeah.
But you had said that your ex-husband had affiliation with United Mine Workers.
Yes.
He did when you were in Kentucky. Did he continue whenever you moved to Bel Air?
Yes. That clinic was also, it was United Mine Workers Welfare and Retirement Fund clinic. It was funded by the United Mine Workers.
I see.
And the doctors there were on salary. They were not in private practice. And the whole operation was really funded by the United Nine. So, you know, I had a lot of experience with unions.
You lived it.
Yeah, exactly, one way or another, for a long, long time.
I'm not going to ask you about your affiliation with the armed forces. Or if you served in Vietnam, or Korea.
No.
Can you tell us about some activities and organizations other than in your career, mm-hmm. that in which you have become active?
What period of my life are you looking at? Because I've done, like when I lived in Bel Air, mm-hmm. I was certainly I was a young woman with little kids, and I was certainly active in the Jewish community, and also to the degree that I could in the general community. And when I moved here, before I went to law school, I mean, once I went to law school, things changed. But I was certainly active in the 14th Ward Democratic Club in Squirrelville.
In what capacity?
I was just an active member. I've always been interested in politics.
It's important.
Yes, and I was a member of ADA. Oh, I guess was I on the board of ADA? I think it was probably on the board of ADA. I was on the board of the ACLU. I don't do any of that. I don't do that anymore. I belong to a Bible study group, making up for past errors. It was a group of people who were. Do you know Esther Kleansky?
I know the name, but I don't
know. She ran this Bible study group, and it was just friends who got together who were interested in reading the Bible and discussing it. And I was part of that group for years.
People came in and out of the group.
They did after a while, but it was a very cohesive group for at least 5 or 6 years.
And these were Reform women?
No.
They were all different.
I don't think there was nobody who was Orthodox in it, but everybody was Reform or Conservative. And I think Esther and her husband belonged to Dor Hadash or the other one.
Reconstructionists.
Yeah.
Right.
No, not, there's a third one. It's not Reconstruction. They may be Reconstructionists.
Actually, I think Dor Hadash is Reconstructionist.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's which, but it's either Dor Hadash or there's one that has an
ethical humanism.
I don't know. Anyway, something like that. It's not a standard approach.
Okay. And who led it then? Just
Esther. Everybody participated. It was a very participatory group. I didn't participate very much because I didn't really have very much to offer.
But you learned a lot.
I did. So I think I did.
You read.
Yeah. I tried.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have the background that was really necessary to really catch on to a lot of what was being said.
Were there any other organizations or activities that you can think of?
But after I went to law school, time became much more precious. And so that's it. I know I've done a whole bunch of things through the years.
Well, I know about Peace Links.
Yeah,
you
were active. I belong, but I am not an active member.
Oh, you're not.
I don't serve on the board, and I am not. I mean, I contribute, and I have many friends who belong, but I am I'm not on the board, really, and that's really.
Is that still in effect? Peace
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Even though we're all at peace, ostensibly.
What exactly is Peace Links?
Yeah.
Peace Links, it's an organization of women across all the lines you can think of, who really want to see, it sounds simple-minded, but it's true, peace in the world, and they're involved in citizen diplomacy, and they, for instance, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, this September, Peace Links was really the organization which really initiated the group of women from Pittsburgh who went to the 4th UN conference on the status of women in Beijing. And I went to that conference. And then when we came back, it wasn't just Peace Links, but that whole group of women both at all kinds of organizations, and probably people still are speaking on occasion about what our experiences and what our impressions were of what happened in Beijing.
The event that were in Beijing, were they divided up into, were there different organizations in the city that went under police?
They went on their own. I mean, they went as themselves. They didn't go as peace links.
Someone sponsored you. Were asked by someone.
All you really had to do was apply. Anybody, I mean, there's no one you know who couldn't have gone had they wanted to. You had to belong to an organization which has some affiliation with the UN, but I can assure you that you could hardly belong to an organization which doesn't have an affiliation of some sort with the United Nations. And you couldn't go as a delegate, but you could go, you couldn't go as an official delegate, but you could go, I can't read it.
As an individual, as a delegate.
Yes. I guess I was an official delegate, but not, the United States sent X number of people as the official American delegation. That was a small group of people. I wasn't that small, but still it was small. But there were 50 women from Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh area who went to Beijing. That is a lot of folks. And a number of them went on something called Peace Train. I didn't do that. And they traveled all across, they began in Helsinki and went all across Asia until they got to Beijing on the train, stopping in all kinds of countries and cities all across Asia, talking to women's groups in those various communities.
It was prearranged.
Oh, yeah. It was called the Peace Train.
Isn't that,
and there were about 240 women and about 10 men who were on this train. And of all nationalities, not just Americans or North Americans, but all nationalities.
I thought you were on that.
No,
you
I was
weren't.
Not. I had a lot of friends who were, but I was not.
No, wait a minute. You said you were a delegate.
I was a delegate to the. I wish I could remember the exact language, but I was. I went to the forum. I was not.
Okay. Yeah, there were two things I remember now.
There was the forum to which, I mean, there were 40,000 women or 35,000
right.
women who were delegates to the forum. I mean, it was an official. You had to have an official sort of designation, and you couldn't go without that.
And how did you get your designation?
I applied. Anybody could. I mean, all you had to do was send in your application, and tell them, you know, what your sponsoring organization was, and then you had to get a visa via this application process from the Chinese government, and that was where everybody apparently got.
So, what did you say was your
PeaceLinks was my.
Oh, so PeaceLinks
was
your sponsor. Okay.
I mean, I could have gone.
Yeah.
I
think Hadassah sent somebody on CJW.
Hadassah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Judy Palkovitz.
She went.
Did
you meet Florence Johnson?
Sure. She was with our group. I traveled with her. Yeah, she was with the group that I was with. We just went up to Chautauqua. Where a friend with another person in our group, there are probably, I don't know, about 10 or 12 or 15 of us in our group. And I traveled with her. She's wonderful.
She's a terrific person.
Absolutely.
So vivacious.
Mm-hmm. I'm on the legal committee for the Pittsburgh AIDS Task Force.
Okay. It's
the Pittsburgh AIDS Task Force.
Oh, AIDS, yeah.
Sort of whatever comes my way that I feel that I can do.
Are there any attorney organizations like any kind of labor related?
Yes. I'm on the labor section of the Allegheny County Bar Association.
Are you active?
Yeah, I'm sort of. I mean, it's not a particularly active group, but yeah, you know. I think I was on the board of that. Yeah, I think I might still be. I mean, it's not terribly accurate, but if they hold a meeting, I go.
Now, were you ever involved in the civil rights movement?
Certainly ideologically, yes, but I didn't do anything, really, I mean, except, think that was a good idea.
You didn't march in Jackson.
I was certainly part of the peace movement during the Vietnam War, and I went to Washington and you know, for demonstrations, at least once, maybe more.
So this is a Jane Fonda.
No, did I hear, Jane Fonda spoke here, and I think I heard her, honestly. Yeah, in Pittsburgh.
I didn't remember her being in Pittsburgh.
She was. She spoke at what was the Fellowship of Reconciliation. She did. I can remember that. Yeah. That was probably
did she draw a big crowd?
I don't remember. Probably.
Have you ever traveled to Israel?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was something else I did. You reminded me of all kinds of things. The year that Judah was confirmed and then Emily was coming up the next year, I decided this was a year to take the kids to Israel. Which I did. Yeah.
So it was a family type.
Just the three of us.
It wasn't a mission.
No, just the three of us. Yeah.
The two younger girls.
Yeah, Emily and Jean, my two youngest daughters. Yeah.
And what year? I need chronology 72. Here.
72. Okay. Emily, is that true? That's about right.
Okay, she's close enough.
Yeah, it's about right. The summer. It was the summer of 72.
Did you have a driver or?
No, we went with a tour group, but and we were about, you know, that 8-day trip in Israel, and then I think we were in Copenhagen for a few days, and then we were in London for a few days, and that was it.
That's wonderful.
It was. It was a really good trip.
Well, you mentioned that you worked with the 14th Ward.
Yeah.
So, were you politically active in anything?
Well, let's see. I was certainly a supporter. I belonged to the organization. Oh, I ran for school board.
That was one of my crazier things.
But it was the first elected school board.
And what year was that?
Oh, gosh. I can tell you. It was in 1976. I was in law school.
And that was the year there was a big strike. For public schools.
Was it 76?
Yes.
Was it? Okay. Because I remember, I know it was a big mess because my kids had nowhere, I mean, I was busy working or whatever I was doing and they couldn't go to school. I think I shipped them out to my mother in South Dakota for a few weeks.
Who was your opponent?
Well, this was the first year. There were seven of us. And I can't remember all of them, but Saul Abrams, there were three conservatives and four liberals. And the three conservatives beat the four liberals. As you can imagine, I was one of the liberals. But I got the most votes of all the liberals. Did you know George O'Bannon?
Yeah, from,
yeah, George, from the Rockstar. Okay, he ran. Sure. He ran. Saul Abrams ran and won. Mendelssohn. I can't think of his name.
Leonard
Mendelssohn ran. And we had the seven of us. Well, those are the only four I can think of. There were a couple of, I don't know, at least one other woman. You remember Ellie Langer? She won.
And then she became president.
Yes, that's right.
You said Saul Abrams
ran.
Yeah,
no, but she was in another district. I know. She was in, he won in our district.
Oh, okay.
But she wasn't in our district.
What district were you in?
It was either four or five because there was.
Well, Ellie was from Point Breeze.
Whatever. I mean, I can't remember what the districts were. The school board districts were different.
Hello.
Hi, Charlie.
How are you?